Guess who's back? Back again. Harbro's back. Have a listen. Guess who's back? What's up, people who like to party? All right, here we are again. I'm going to leave the first part because it was pure radio gold, but our mics were not working. Well, mine was because I make sure mine works. You know, I don't give a shit about the other two people. Just kidding. So, Marcus, how are you doing, Mark?
Pretty good. What up, dude?
What's up? And with us again, because we can't seem to get rid of her, is Liz. Hey, Liz.
Hi.
We read a wonderful short 90-page book, if you can call it a book.
Novella.
Well, yeah. Mine was over 1,000 pages.
Novelette.
They were Kindle pages, though. So
Novelette.
Yeah.
It was called The Haunted Vagina by a guy named Carlton Mellick III.
Yeah, he apparently gets shunned by corporate bookstores. He's a rebel because of his crazy writings.
There's a lot in these 90 pages that I think that we need to talk about. The first of which is that this isn't really a romance novel.
I have no idea.
I think it's an adventure novel.
Yeah, I don't really know what you would call this.
I'm not sure how this got picked.
Fiction.
I don't know if I enjoyed this or not. This was strange. This was the first one that was written by a male.
Right.
Is this the first one that was written by a guy, or did Call Me Daddy was a female?
Yes.
Jade West.
I love that y'all remember their fucking names. Yeah, I think they were all written by females until now. So The Haunted Vagina, it's described as a bizarro book, right?
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
Bizarre. And some of the other titles in bizarro
please
world,
regale us with those titles.
One of them by Carlton Mellick.
All of these should be in your library right now. Or if you need to make a point.
There's many.
There's one called The Faggiest Vampire, which we're going to have to fucking read that book.
At some point.
The Menstruating Mall.
Crab Town. I can
Baby
only imagine
Jesus
what kind of crabs
butt
these are.
Plug.
Razor Wire Pubic Hair.
Yeah, I do. Yeah. I am very intrigued by that one.
The Troublesome Amputee. But anyway, we read...
Eggman.
We read The Haunted Vagina, and I was speaking to my mother this morning, and she said something like, are you gonna do the podcast on that book, The Spooky Lady Parts? And I really think that it would be a better book if it was called The Spooky Lady Parts.
Well, why did she call it that? And I know
our mother
knows.
Doesn't like saying vagina.
I know she knows what it's called because I make sure I mention the title of it every time I talk
yes.
to her.
And Liz and I have the same mother, by the way.
We do. We share...
We came out of the same spooky lady parts.
Boy, were they spooky.
Okay, so in the 90 pages, let's see if we can do what we have not been able to do in previous podcasts, where we wrap up the plot pretty quickly for all you assholes out there that aren't going to read the 90 pages of this stupid-ass book.
And you shouldn't.
I don't know.
Yeah, sure.
I mean,
yeah, okay.
If you're into bizarro shit, okay.
It won't take long.
Steve, right?
Was that his name? I was thinking this morning. I don't know what this guy's
name. I think his name is Steve. Yes, I read it. And Stacy.
How do we know?
Because she refers to him as Steve at some point.
Oh,
yes.
Okay.
Steve
Which
and Stacy.
Which is a terrible name.
Because I literally read 70 of the 90 pages last night before this podcast. So I think it's Steve. So Steve is dating Stacy, who, by his accounts, is an 8-foot-tall Asian
yes.
woman.
Can we
from
can
Thailand?
Can we read her description? I have
yes,
it highlighted.
Please, yes, please do.
Please.
All right, here's. She's so quirky. Gosh, just the quirkiest thing. I found out her favorite food was stuffed grape leaves, and her favorite films were all Russian. She was born in Thailand, but was adopted by a wealthy African American couple before she could walk, and spent most of her time in an upscale suburb outside L.A. She spent 10 years at the university here in Portland getting degrees in every subject she could acquire, blah, blah, blah. She has degrees in philosophy, history, Russian, anthropology, psychology, and humanities. But she works at the hipster clothing store downtown. So, anyway, I thought that was interesting.
Yeah, and like, I don't think that that's an inaccurate character description. Because I know that, like, Mark and I were at UGA together. And I remember at the time, there was, like, a 28-year-old guy still living in Creswell, the dorm that we were living in. And he was getting degrees in, like, everything.
But did he get paid to let people listen to the ghosts coming out of his vagina, though?
Well, he had a ghost in his asshole.
Gotcha.
But he would let us listen to it for
every
free.
Every almost 30-year-old yeah. college student has some kind of ghost.
Listen, if an 18-year-old girl wants to put her ear to my asshole, I am not going to tell her no. So she, but at some point, did it say that she was very tall in that description?
She did.
I feel like he's just
apparently
tiny.
He's minuscule.
I think he's tiny.
He is this tiny.
He can fit his whole body into her vagina.
Person.
So
yeah, and the my favorite part is even before he climbs into her womb, day 69 Woomer. With her holding on to him upside down while he munches her coochie. Like
I had to read that part. A couple times
because I've
to
seen
figure
pornos.
Out
he munches her glow worm.
Her glow worm, yes.
Yeah.
Her glow worm.
He nibbles.
But
yeah.
I really had to visualize that setup in my.
Oh, also, like, I'd like to point out we are sans Sam, producer Sam.
Yeah, we miss
she had
Sam.
Better things to do, so I hope you will all join and say, screw
she's
Sam.
She's learning how to save the universe.
Yeah, whatever. She's dead to us now. She's never allowed to be on a podcast again. No, she has to study for some bullshit, whatever.
All right, but seriously, before we go on, what is a stuffed grape leaf?
Well, okay.
They're not that tasty. I don't like them. They're some.
Is it Greek or is it?
Yeah, it's Greek.
It's Greek.
Yeah, like I feel like I've had them before with Greek food.
It's actually kind of bland. I'm not a fan.
Okay, I don't know what they. I can't remember
in jars.
What it tastes like.
I thought that was a weird thing to make her favorite food.
So she's Thai. Right.
Thai, Russian.
And he's just a white dude.
I guess.
A 5 foot nothing white guy dating a 7 foot tall Thai.
He's like Cisco.
Let me see what a.
Thong song.
Yeah, I've had that before. Actually, I think I liked anyway, whatever. They'd look like poop, but whatever. So they're dating. She has voices in her vagina.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Which he did not realize until he was. Committed to the relationship, I guess.
Right. So they're dating. He realizes that she's got voices in her vagina. She tells him that she's unique or special because she has them. She used to charge people in college.
Yeah, she has a really interesting backstory.
Yeah, she charged
starting from childhood, she heard stuff from her vagina.
Well, she not only heard stuff, but
and her imaginary friend. I had an imaginary friend.
A girl
friend.
Came out of her vagina. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, so
did yours come out of?
No,
your,
my
your
Elmo
asshole?
Was my imaginary friend growing up, and
she
did
didn't
not come
out
of
any
penis.
Part of you. Great.
No, Martin. Elmo just would turn the TV on in the middle of the night.
True. Straight up.
Yeah.
Was your house haunted? Wait, did you?
Yeah,
grow
Mark.
Up in
Mark grew up in
house?
A haunted house.
Yeah, we had
bit.
Some. Our TV did some weird shit.
That's cool.
When we were kids, yeah, we'd go over and spend the night and.
Like our CRT television, the channel numbers went from green to black one day, and then it would all of a sudden turn on in the middle of the night, full volume on the static channel.
You just definitely had a poltergeist in your house.
Straight up.
That was not an imaginary friend. That was
and I would spend the night, and we watched late night Cinemax, and then we would turn the TV off, and then it would just randomly turn back on at full volume, going like, oh, my God.
Yeah, that ghost wanted to get y'all busted.
Yeah,
or help you
help
bust,
me bust
one.
My parents didn't care.
It was a nice ghost. Okay, so, oh my God. See, we're already.
So he's super in love with her.
He's in love
with
her.
He's totally turned off by her vagina.
Yes.
Which is
as
not a
all
good
men
place to
are
be.
Always, always turned off.
Usually
by
turned
vaginas.
Off.
We don't want to see him or hear from him. We just want to put our penises into him.
He likes to talk about its musty smell.
Yeah.
Ghostly voices. I mean, sorry,
see,
my vagina.
But I don't know. We're already getting off track. That's what I kept trying to figure out. Is this a metaphor to something? Like I thought
know.
It was going to be a metaphor to something. Anyway, all right.
I don't think he thought about it.
So.
That deep.
Stacy, when she says she used to have an imaginary friend that she claimed came out of her vagina and that had horns on her head. And
or bunny ears.
Ouch.
Or bunny ears, yeah.
Said they were horns. He thought they were bunny ears.
This is the part, and I know this is going to sound really, stupid for a book called The Haunted Vagina. The only part of this book that didn't make a ton of sense.
The only part?
That's what I was going to say. I know that there's a lot of parts that are just crazy, batshit crazy in this book, but the part that didn't make any sense is all of a sudden she has something come out of her, mm-hmm. right? They never explain the why this thing came out of her.
No.
It was just a fleshy skeleton that just like came out of her vag and dies in the real world.
Well, he kills it.
He smashes
it. It may not have died.
And then they don't bother to clean it up.
No.
It's just a soupy mess.
Baking soda foam.
Yeah.
And it ruins her fluffy blanket.
Yeah. So then they decide she wants him to go inside of her. She wants him to go.
She's way too excited about
Coos spelunking.
Yeah, I used that word too with Jack. I was trying to describe this book to him. Y'all, don't call the cops.
How old is your son?
He's 13. Explain
it to your 13-year-old son. How
I was
he goes.
Telling him that he was going vagina spelunking, and he was like, "Oh, spelunking!" Like he thought that was the bad word, and I was like, "No, that's just the normal word out of this whole situation."
He was going literally muff diving, full body. Muff diving, and I hate to say this, but that when he was climbing through her puss, I got a boner. And I was wondering, like, what that says. I'm just kidding.
Well, when I was reading that part, I was trying to think about what fetish this served, because in all of our other books, we always talk about what fetish it serves. Exactly. So I thought, is it the one where you eat your partner? Is it the one where you want to put your whole body in someone's vagina? I mean, I don't know if that's one or not, but
I don't think that this was a fetish book. It was just a fucking weird, bizarro book.
Yeah, I think you're right. I don't know that there was a fetish. That's what I was saying.
The fetish could be bizarro.
Yeah.
In of itself.
Yeah, that's true.
It's just kind of a crazy.
Like, I'm not saying that people don't exist that want to throw their entire self into a vagina and they get off on that, but I'm saying that this book wasn't like, you know how like Call Me Daddy was serving the desire of people that want to do daddy dom shit. This isn't like, you know, being swallowed by the pussy.
I disagree.
You think so? Because
yes,
there wasn't enough
there's a lot of
it.
Fucking fucked up, like sexual shit in here. There's a lot of fisting imagery here. There's a lot of, you know, consumption imagery. I mean, again, I really think it's hitting on a lot of little things here, and it's unsettling. And
hitting on a lot of little things, like Steve,
or big things like her vagina.
She could spread her lips 14 centimeters.
14 inches. Over 2 feet that girl can get.
Right.
So he has narrow shoulders.
1 foot. Over one foot. Well, Jesus Christ.
I do math.
Yeah, I've literally seen a porno where some dude put his head in.
I've seen that same porno.
Yes,
yeah,
I think we've all seen
a video of the guy sticking his head in a girl's vagina.
Sorry.
He was bald,
but yeah, he was. He did. Yeah.
She had to shave him. Mechanics here.
So he goes inside Stacy. He walks around for a little bit, and I guess he gets smaller, and he goes into this world where, like, the sky is purple or something.
He's in her womb.
Are jumping way ahead. They spend an
way ahead. There's 90 fucking pages. I can't go that far.
They spend an entire chapter of him climbing into her fucking vagina.
Okay, all right. You're right.
And it's
pushing him in. I mean, my God.
While she's masturbating.
That's true.
While she's masturbating.
And the river of cum is what.
Hold on. No, that was later.
Do we like a basic synopsis?
Okay, I'm sorry.
So, like, basic synopsis here. Okay. Like, basic synopsis. Steve is in love with this chick. This chick hears voices in her vagina. He's weirded out, so their sex life sucks. Eventually, they decide to try, and some skeleton comes out. They kill it. And then she decides, hey, you need to go exploring. So he goes exploring and...
This is social media mail, by the way. I'm sorry to introduce you earlier.
He goes exploring and then he comes back and she's like, whoa, this is crazy. You've got to go back. I'm going to get you all this stuff and you're going to go back. And so he does go back. But this time...
Yeah, she buys him like spelunking gear. Yeah,
like he first a sleeping bag and like... Bars
he
so
takes
he can
a
eat,
gun with him.
A gun.
He sure did.
Yeah. So he goes
to fight
back.
Those skeletons.
He goes back, but...
Zephyrins.
Oh, yeah.
He goes back, and he ends up going through exploring. Yeah, he gets kidnapped by Fig, who is essentially
Stacey was a bitch too.
We've already talked about the imaginary friend. Fig is essentially the friend that was coming out of Stacey's vagina. Anyway,
and the one that cries, right?
And the crying, yeah, because she's so lonely. So anyway, she's so lonely. She ends up throwing him in a mine, and he's trapped there. And then Stacey, at this point, he's been gone for a while, we're assuming. And so Stacey goes out and has a one-night stand. And she, things change because the sex happens and the cum comes and it prevents him from escaping. And so
she gets, hold on. You're skipping some parts.
But it's a general synopsis.
Yeah. Okay. So he goes inside of her a second time with spelunking gear and a gun. Mm-hmm. And she says it's time. I want to play with you. Mom says I can play with you forever.
Who's mom? I never understood who.
Well,
mom
they
was.
Tried and, to. Okay, it got really
on.
Confusing
because then he like meets her family and they're all fucking like cartoon characters or some
shit.
Were
they all members of her family?
Well, but hold on. So he tries to leave. She has the skeletons steal them, throw them in a mine. He stays down there forever, starts turning into the same thing that she is. Yeah. His skeleton comes out of him.
Yes.
And then turns into a dog or something. Like it starts like walking around on all fours and
that's
barking.
His pet and chattering.
Yeah, chattering his teeth like. Yeah, like he's excited. He chatters. Anyway, she lets him out. They fall in love after he watches some guy nut up in Stacey. Mm-hmm. And he's mad because she's cheating on him.
Yep.
And she gets pregnant with this one-night stand that you find out later is a one-night stand. And then he falls in love with Fig. Fig gets pregnant. Fig is the girl with the horns and shit.
Yeah.
The vagina demon.
The vagina demon. And then he's happily in love with her, but decides he wants to use the walkie-talkie that he was sent in with to contact Stacey again. And Stacey's crying and saying how much she misses him. And then he's... The ending is like the funniest part.
Yeah. Go ahead.
He went to say, like, I'm going to be with you forever. And she ends up just cutting off the walkie talkie
and throwing it
at the wall or something. And that's the end of the book.
So you're missing a very pivotal point. So
okay. I'm
one
probably
point,
missing a lot of pivotal points.
Apparently. So at one point, you know, he's interacting with Fig. They're doing whatever. And then all of a sudden he understands, like, wait. Stacey is getting fucked. There's like this dick that's just pounding in, and then all of a sudden the dick comes, and there's rivers of cums, and then
and then
she gets impregnated by this guy,
right?
And then apparently, at that point during the impregnation,
it blocks
his universe that he was in right there, then transfers to the womb of the baby,
yes,
right?
Yes.
No, the womb, her womb. I thought he was in her womb.
That's what I thought.
At one point when she got pregnant, he transferred to the baby's womb,
not the.
And
well,
then
no, because
she could no longer stretch her vagina out after she got pregnant.
Right.
Where he could exit. So he basically has to sit there and wait for the baby to come of age so he could then
exit
her
the baby.
Right?
Vagina.
Yeah,
yes.
Yes. Yeah, yeah,
but
yeah.
See,
yeah. Okay.
That's not what he wants to do. That's what Stacey wants
Stacey,
to do.
Yes.
Maybe
she's
after
like,
I have my baby, you can come out of my baby's vagina and
yes,
we can be
yes.
together again. Yeah, that part was
fucked
pretty
up.
Fucked
yes.
up.
Right.
Real fucked up.
There's a lot to unpack here. There's really fucked up.
See, I thought it's that disturbing. The skeletons were like supposed to be symbolic of like all the old cum that didn't impregnate her.
I never thought of that. I didn't know what the fuck was up.
The skeleton came out of him and then it was like useless. So I was like, well, maybe this is supposed to be like all the cum. All those skeletons are like the ghosts of the men who came in her. I don't know.
I don't know. See, I have no idea. I thought. You don't have to raise your hand, Mark. You can just talk.
I have,
yes, Mark.
So, yes, Marcus,
okay.
You have the floor.
Did you have something to say?
Let me talk about how my thoughts about this movie. I thought this movie.
Movie?
This book was going to be
this
about,
like short
there
story?
There was going to be demons living inside her vagina. I was thoroughly wrong. They are not demons. Apparently, this is actually a product of environment. Supposedly.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't understand that, so I won't even talk about it.
But there's also where you talk
this
about
this is an evolutionary adaptation, a mutation. Yeah. This whole thing that's going on in her vagina right now.
But, see if I can find
But they didn't explain that either. And then, like, there's all the wrought iron shit that they say is cancer.
Yeah, I remember yeah.
that. She had cancer. And I thought something? That was a poor
Well, payoff. See, and because at one point, Stacy says, you went into, I don't know what it was, a little tumor or something. So, but then later, I thought it was her womb. And so I may or may not have, like, looked up a diagram of female reproductive system.
I thought,
so I was like,
I
where
thought,
is he located at? I want to make sure I have my female anatomy right.
So like he thinks that he is he originally thinks he went into some parallel universe, right? Mm-hmm. And then she says when he comes back out the first time, she says, no, you shrunk inside of me and you're inside of my body, mm-hmm. right? And but then... Shit, I lost my train of thought.
Well, see, he's in her because when he's down at the bottom of the mine, he, like, puts his, yeah, head on the floor, right. And he's like, it's warm and fleshy, and I can hear a heartbeat, yeah. So, like, he was still, yeah, in her.
But the thing is, apparently what's happened to her, the reason why she has this ability to have him enter her vagina is an evolutionary trait, apparently. It's a mutation. Because that. Where she was from, there was population, overpopulation, yeah. And this was a different...
That's a speculation. It doesn't specifically claim that. All it says is this place isn't a ghost world, just a beaten down, lonely world. Must have been around for centuries, getting passed from host to host, mother to daughter, generation after generation. And then there's all this speculation about how it happened, bioengineered by Asian Frankenstein or evolutionary mutation, and talking about villages in Asia and mutant females were born containing fertile worlds inside of them. But it's never actually like, this is what it is. It's just like, oh, this is might what it be what it is. Here's a possible explanation.
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't understand it. So
this was more of a myth. I thought this was going to be more of a mythological type story, but no, they were trying to ground this shit in science fiction, and that's where I had a problem with it. They tried to explain why the fact that this dude could crawl into her vagina, and then the fact that she could get pregnant, and then he could then transfer from her to the baby.
I thought it was going to be some kind of, I don't even know, not a metaphor, but like he was going in and also somehow going back in time a little bit, and that the ejaculating semen that's going into her is actually his. And he's watching his own baby being created.
No.
And it's supposed to be some kind of like philosophical effect on him, you know, growing as a male or a father. But it didn't go that way at all. It just went like, it just stayed completely in bizarro land.
Yep.
And I realized after I was finished, I was like, that's the whole point. Is this just a fucking weird ass story? And it's written, I couldn't figure out if it was written deliberately
stupidly.
I don't even know if it was poorly written. It was just like, there's this YouTube mini series that's poorly animated called The Ghost House. And it's literally just goes like, day one in the ghost house. There's some fucking scary ghost in living in my house. Day two in the ghost house. That's how this was written. It was like, oh my God, my girlfriend has ghosts in her womb. Chapter two. I'm going to totally climb up in her puss snatch and go find some goddamn ghosts in her womb.
Yeah.
Chapter three. It was just strange.
It was written like a weird blog, like a weird porn blog.
But then when I finished it, like, I'm glad that it wasn't like fleshed out super into a long, you know, novel, that this was 90 pages. That's all I needed of it. But again, it also wasn't, this wasn't like a, I don't think it was a fetish novel. You know, it wasn't Call Me Daddy. It wasn't.
It's pretty close.
I don't know. See, I don't think this was romantic, you know.
I was about to say, this is not really a romance. I don't even think it's a very erotic story.
I don't think so.
No, not
it's
at all.
Not sexy at all.
But I mean, it hits certain fetish type
touch points. It's anatomical.
I really
lots of stretching lips and
I will say this.
Jizz. Lakes.
I think if Fig looks like her picture on the cover of this book.
She's pretty hot.
She's kind of hot. I mean, I'm not going to lie. Like, there's something.
She's a ginger.
Like, I would, you know, I liked how the fact, do you see the skeleton looking at her ass.
Mm-hmm. He's like, yeah baby.
He's like, I'm going to
No
bite
wonder
that.
I do all
I'm
your bidding.
Chatter my teeth on your butt. But here's my thing. Why does she have an ass? Because didn't they say that they don't eat?
No.
Yeah, they.
No, yeah, because at dinner time they did crafts.
Yeah,
remember?
They just played with like Play-Doh and shit.
Yeah, he made a.
He was trying to make a cowboy.
He made a Play-Doh dick.
And then he made like some kind of spiky snake.
Oh yeah, not a dick. A snake.
Yeah, and said like, Fig's mom looked at it like it was pornographic.
And she had a friend Rock. That's my friend, the Rock. And she was like, that's my friend, the Cloud. I don't understand. I don't know. I didn't get the book.
And see, I actually thought that was kind of quirky and funny. That she was like saying everything, you know, was her friend, and she knew they're mean. That, you know, that mushroom over there will talk bad about your mama. But
she like pretty much raped him.
Yeah. Yeah, so she like kidnapped him.
Kidnaps him, brainwashes him, rapes him.
And I knew the whole time when she said, I want to play.
Oh, yeah. She wanted
to play. Wanted to have sex with him.
Sorry, Aunt Rachel.
Yeah. Our one reviewer. What was that on iTunes? Yeah. We got one review on iTunes, and it was like, I like this podcast, but Liz says fuck a whole lot, signed Aunt Rachel. And I was like, God damn it, Rachel. Stop listening to our podcast.
Don't tell us that you're our aunt anyway. Yeah. Pretend like you're some random reviewer.
It's like, these are my brother's kids and their friend Marcus. They're so funny, except for all the F words. I can't wait to hear.
F words are the best part.
Spooky lady parts. All right.
Well, can we talk about what I thought was the most fascinating part of the book, please. Which was the Kennedy School?
Yes.
Do you remember the Kennedy School, which is a real place? I looked it up in Portland, Oregon, and I would love to go visit because it sounds amazing.
Yeah, this place was hella cool. It was this old school that was sold. And it's a brewery, but it's also a hotel. And like has restaurants.
Yeah.
And so that's so cool. It's a real place. That would be so fun to go because that place really. So this is the place
I looked
it
up because I was like, wow, that's an interesting idea. So I looked up like bar in a school, and it was that's a real place in Portland, Oregon. It's
so yeah, this is the place that after the skeleton comes out of Stacy, and they've like. Killed it, and
she's traumatized.
She's
like,
traumatized.
She needs to go to the ER.
They need
for
a drink,
kit, really.
And Stacy doesn't like beer, but he wants a good beer. And it's Portland.
He's got a little bit of an alcohol problem.
But yeah, so this is where they go, and they end up like I don't know, but yeah, it sounded really cool.
And see, I've been to Portland. Did
Oregon?
You? Yeah.
Oh really?
Yeah, when I lived out west, I went there. And it does not surprise me that this was set in Portland. And it also doesn't surprise me that Carlton Mellick the III, did y'all see his picture?
Yeah. Has what are those things on his
like
mutton chops?
Mutton chops.
He's got a shaved head with mutton chops.
Yeah.
And thick rim glasses. And he's from Portland. Like, well, where the hell else would he be from?
Yeah.
Although we live in Athens, Georgia, he probably fit right in here, too.
Where the corporate bookstores shun his books.
Yeah.
Put a bird on it.
Although Portland does have, like, the most breweries per capita, I think. But, see, I'm surprised he didn't mention, like, Voodoo Donut or the Asian Gardens or whatever that are out there. Or all the fucking homeless people. I'm sorry, homeless people.
He did mention homeless people.
Did he?
Oh, yeah, Donut.
Oh, yeah, because there's Donut who thinks that
he's a Nazi,
but yet when he gives him falls in love with him. And the first time she tells him that he loves her, she loves him, is after Stacy sees Steve give Donut, the homeless man, his jacket.
Yeah. You know what else I heard, though?
His $200 jackets.
Stacy, her mom, I heard she's got it going on.
Stacy's mom?
Yeah, Stacy's mom's got it going
Can
on.
Can I be with Stacy's mom?
No, that's Jesse's girl. God damn, Liz.
You're off her game this today.
Who's Stacy's mom?
No, I'm just kidding. It's the song, Stacy's mom.
Stacy's mom.
Got it going on.
Who was it?
It had like... Rod Stewart's ex-wife in it.
Oh yeah,
Rachel
Hunter.
Hunter, yeah.
And then her real life daughter, and then her real life son. I think is pretending to be the boy who's like crushing on Stacy's mom.
Creepy. creepy.
Yeah, I'd read that book though. Probably
sounds like a Quora.
They're like Rachel Hunter's Pervert Son by Carlton Mellick the Fifth. I like that he's the third. So his grandfather and his father were like, you know what's a good fucking name? Carlton Mellick. Let's name our kid that.
Let's perpetuate that for his name.
Yeah.
They probably had mutton chops too.
Okay. Maybe this is going to be a lot shorter of an episode than the other ones. I don't have anything else. The only thing else I was going to say was he mentions Kevin Sorbo at one point.
A very specific reference to Hercules.
And remember when he went into her post the second time and he brought a digital camera and he was like, I should have brought one of those camera phones. And I was like, smartphone?
What year is this?
That's what I wrote in my little Kindle notes. I said, what year was this written? I need one of those camera phones.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it is kind of old.
Okay, it is a little old.
It had flip phones back then.
It's aught six.
My cool LG used to take some good pictures.
Reading the back of this book, it's difficult to love a woman whose vagina is a gateway to the world of the dead. That's not really what this was about, though, was it?
Right, that's what we thought. That's why we thought it was going to be this demon hellhole.
It really...
But it became... something else.
And I'm still just confused about why a skeleton came out of Stacy in the first place. Like, okay, so how they described how he entered into the womb world or whatever, he's on a cliff, right? Mm-hmm. He's on a cliff, his head is sticking out of some hole on a cliff.
Like a tunnel through the cliff, yeah.
And then Stacy comes, because mm-hmm. she's masturbating as he's sliding his entire body into her.
To keep it lubed up.
And then, he falls into the world and bangs his head.
Yeah.
And then says something about his fingers are like, has pins and needles.
I think he starts turning
from the first visit. Time. Okay. Yeah. So then he leaves. He's able to climb back out and get out while she's driving the car.
Mm-hmm. So time does move differently.
So yes, right. I was thinking
I was going to say.
Time dilation. Yes.
Oh, I know. Let's get into quantum fucking physics in this goddamn book. But he comes back out and she's driving and he's like, I can just imagine the scene from Ace Ventura 2 where he's like got his face sticking out of the fake rhinoceros. Like that's what I'm imagining touching him going out. We're all like,
the zipper's real cold.
Yeah. The zipper's cold on his mouth. And she's like, don't come out yet. I wanted to be like, fuck you, bitch. Pull the fuck over and let me out of your goddamn coos already.
Stacy was a real bitch. I think that maybe that skeleton came out because maybe Fig sent the skeleton. Because
I think
she she wanted a lover. She was sad. Mm-hmm. And she knew that Stacy was not treating Steve right because she was a real bitch. But Steve wasn't that great of a guy, honestly. He was a pretty asshole.
I don't know.
So maybe she sent him out to because we don't know what would happen to the skeleton if he didn't smash his head with the dresser or whatever he did with him.
At the end of the day, though, this book was I literally read it this morning in, maybe an hour and a half to read the whole thing.
It's pretty easy read.
Yeah.
But, it wasn't, I'm not going to say that it's, the worst thing I've ever written. It wasn't
written.
Read.
You wrote this?
I wrote this.
Uh-oh, spoiler.
My name is Carlton.
That does explain a lot.
Social media Mel is actually Carlton Mellick the fucking third. We are ripping on it in front of the author.
Sorry. I loved it.
It was.
Yeah, sorry. Tell me what your motivation was to write this
It was just a very
stupid-ass story.
The thing is I didn't hate it. It wasn't... It was, like you said, 90 pages was the perfect journey to, go through this and just be like, okay. I read that. Interesting experience.
Well, like Steve, I had to get real lubed up to go on this journey. I don't know. I want to go back to I don't know, cuz I know Liz and Sam really liked the first book that we did. I did not. The Highlander and the Hard Place one was not one of my favorites. But it makes more sense to do something like that in this podcast. But I do feel like this one was more fun.
Yeah, sure.
It was ridiculous. It was quick.
Yeah.
There's plenty to talk about. But there wasn't any sex in it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like him going up inside of her and then having sex with Fig. Even when he has sex with Fig, it's not.
That was very uncomfortable. I did not care for that part at all. Because he said that their bodies feel like latex now. So it was like two rubber dolls
with
having
no
sex
bones,
with one another.
No bones?
Yeah. So how do you get a boner then? Because there is a bone in the dick, right?
Absolutely. Wait. Yes.
The best part, like he talks about,
it's got a elbow in the middle of it.
They say he says the sex feels far from human, more like snail sex or jellyfish sex or Japanese anime sex.
Yeah,
boneless bodies twisting into inhuman positions. But then he talks, it's the best sex he's ever had. But I loved how the orgasm talks about his testicles cracking open, and release two raw eggs that goo up out of my shaft. Into Fig.
Yeah, I did
see,
like that part.
It
was so strange.
That's some straight up alien impregnation porn right there. Yeah. I have no doubt.
That for some reason reminded me of, was it like Hot Shots Part 2 where Charlie Sheen is fighting the Asian guy and he punches him in the nuts? And then the Asian guy just like spits out two walnuts or something?
Yes, okay. Yeah,
like that's what that reminded me of. Like, totally off the wall, crazy shit.
I thought you were gonna say the part where he cracks the egg and cooks it on what was that hot?
Oh,
yes,
that was from the first one. No, that's from the first one. What's her name?
She was a big 80s.
It's Ramada in the movie.
In the movie, yeah. In fact, I was watching fucking Leaving Las Vegas, and she's in it.
Is she?
She's barely. Yeah, she's barely in it because like Nicolas Cage is trashed, of course, like the whole movie. But he's at a bar and he's like, please come home with me. You're so fucking cute and I'm so lonely. And I was like, God, what a great come on line that is. You're so cute and I've had sex and for so long.
How can you say
that? I'm really good in bed.
Her name is Valeria Golonino.
Yeah, that does sound
right. Golino.
Valeria.
Really?
Golino.
Yes.
So in Rain Man?
Yeah, Rain Man. Yep, she was
a cutie pie.
She's gorgeous. I like Ramada.
Yeah, Ramada from Hot Shots. Yeah, she's a pretty lady.
Hey, pretty lady.
Okay, well then let's.
She was in Johnny Dangerously too. That's awesome.
Escape from L.A.
With Michael
too.
Keaton.
Yes,
she was. I don't know. And you know, Leaving Las Vegas. That's a good damn movie.
Fucking A.
But I was. I'm gonna steal this from another podcast because I was listening to them talk about Leaving Las Vegas. It was written by the only other thing he had written was like an episode of fucking Rugrats. Like that was his only two IMDb.
Rugrats was a very prescient cartoon, actually.
Yeah, it's like Chucky is a hardcore alcoholic.
It was like if you've ever seen some of the commentary about Rugrats, it addressed a lot of social issues. Thank you very much. Kids today just wear those Rugrats hoodies and don't even know.
Yeah, they don't even know. And Friends, like Friends, has come back. I guess because it got added to Netflix.
Director's Mike Figgis.
No, it's not Figgis. It's the guy who wrote it.
John O'Brien?
Yeah, see what his listing, like his...
Rugrats.
Yeah. Is there anything else?
It's like the two things he's known for, Leaving Las Vegas and Rugrats.
Yeah, that's what I was saying.
Fucking A.
But only one
And that's
episode.
Literally it.
Only one episode. What was the episode, though?
Chucky decides to drive to Las Vegas. And
was it the one where Chucky's mom dies? Because that is a really sad one.
Wait, Chucky's mom dies?
Chucky's mom died, I think, like when he was really little.
That's
and
right.
And so he never knew her.
Yeah, he never knew. That's right. I remember that.
That fucking show, man.
Yeah, I'm telling
you. Dude, the 90s cartoons were fucked up.
Rocco?
Fucking Ren and Stimpy? Even the Powerpuff Girls.
Ren and Stimpy was a fucking acid trip.
What was the thing about Animaniacs where they're talking about fingerprints and it shows like Prince the singer and they're like, we don't want a fingerprint.
Oh yeah. Shit.
Yeah. And Prince is like, are you sure?
Yeah. It's like, I don't know, little cartoon people.
Okay. So I haven't thought about this. I don't have any suggestions. If this was a movie, Steve, the only person I can think of because he's so tiny would be like Mark Ruffalo.
Ruffalo is not that tiny.
Mark Ruffalo is like 5'3".
But in a similar vein, like if they did what they did to Captain America, like I could see, you know, in the first movie.
Yeah, like making him a tiny person.
Make him like tiny and kind of like scrawny.
Mark Ruffalo is only like 5'3". He could be Steve.
Yeah.
Well, what about Daniel Radcliffe then?
No, Daniel Radcliffe is tall, isn't he?
Harry Potter?
Yeah, isn't he tall?
So
No.
I mean, he's not like, well, maybe. He's
so tiny. I think these
what
are,
about a...
there are two different generations, but I think Christian Slater and Kaley Cuoco for some reason.
See, okay, I just had another one coming to mind. Timothy Chalamet could be Steve, right? Because he's a tiny little fuck boy.
Yeah. But honestly, though, when I was reading this, when they were describing her as this Asian character, I was thinking of the chick from BoJack. What's her face? What's her character name?
Wynn. God, what was her name? Her voice is Alison Brie.
Yeah, that's a good point. But that's who I pictured.
You're picturing a cartoon character.
Yes,
why not?
Because
they did turn into cartoon characters.
Daniel Radcliffe is 5'5".
Okay, so old Harry Pothead could be could be Steve. So who would be the tall Thai Asian woman?
What's her name? Bai Ming?
Yeah.
Is that her name?
Bai Ling?
Well, before we move on past Steve, I was listening to the Thong song on the way up here.
Oh, Cisco?
Today. Yeah. Thong. And I do think that little tiny Cisco would
little
be perfect.
Little tiny Cisco
for this.
Would be perfect. Yeah,
oh yeah,
true.
Bai Ling would be she's an American Chinese actress. Oh, she was in
like Transporter 2.
But yeah, but like look at her. Like that she would be perfect as like bitchy Stacy.
Yeah. I could see that. But she's like that 80 bitch. Years old now.
Yeah, she's 54. She was born in 1966. Oh, yeah.
Hey, listen, after Asian women hit 30, they all look like they're 65.
Wow. Okay. Let's edit that part out.
Hey, they're not like black women that stay young looking until they're, you know, damn near 80 years old.
Let's see. Lucy Liu, she's not tall enough.
Yeah, Lucy Liu. I guess you could put her in like stilettos. These are too old, though. You need.
Oh,
like,
what about what's her name? Something X. What's her first name?
I don't know.
Maggie X. You don't know Maggie X? She was in Love Island.
Brenda Song is younger.
Awkwafina.
Brenda Song. Yeah, she's young.
Wait, who's Brenda Song?
She was on a Nick show, wasn't she?
She's Macaulay Culkin's girlfriend.
Oh. Cute. Macaulay Culkin gets some.
She's,
I know. How
she's
did
only
Macaulay 32. Fucking Culkin?
I don't know.
He started off with
Evan Rachel Wood, wasn't it?
No, it was the chick from Bully. It was the chick before Mila Kunis. It was the chick from Bully, the brown-headed
girl. It wasn't Evan Rachel Wood?
Hold on. Mark will know. He went to the shitter. Rachel Miner. There you go. Thanks, Mark. You get to see her full bush in Bully.
Yeah, when she played a 13-year-old character.
Huh?
She played a 13-year-old.
Who, Rachel Miner?
Or a 15-year-old.
In Bully?
Well, they were teenagers.
They were teenagers. I thought they were like 16 or 17. Yeah.
I mean, I know they were
I don't think he was with... Evan Rachel Wood was with, like, Marilyn Manson.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Dude, Marilyn Manson pulled in some hot...
Yeah, he did. Rose McGowan.
Shit,
yeah.
Rose McGowan.
Insane. Oh, there's Gemma Chan. She was... in the crazy rich Asians, been in the.
What about Awkwafina? Awkwafina.
She's been in a lot.
I got
of
a
things.
Question though. I've never seen crazy rich Asians. Who the fuck is Awkwafina? Was she like a rapper or something? Why is her name Awkwafina?
She's pretty funny. She's been in a.
Or is she a comedian? Or is she? I watched Future Man with you a little bit. I need to watch it some more. Okay.
She's been in several things. She's been in like the SpongeBob movie. She did a Simpsons episode, Ocean's 8.
All right. So who's Fig then? Who are we going to get to be?
I feel like you could really do anyone with Fig because she's going to be like, you're going to have to put so much makeup. It's more about getting like the. She's like, going to be CGI'd.
If this was filmed in 2006, like when this book came out, I would go with Thora Birch.
Good job. Good job.
Yeah.
Good job, yes.
Thora Birch, you know, Thora, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I think she would have been perfect.
Slap
nowadays,
some horns on her
and because she's already kind of goth anyway, and she's very fair skinned, and she's cute. Yeah. You know, I think she's real cute.
Or like Christina Ricci, maybe.
Yeah, Christina Ricci in 2006 would work too. I mean, they're both kind of a little older than this character, but like now, I mean, nowadays, I don't know. I don't know who the 20 to 30 year old fair skinned actresses would be.
I don't either. Yeah. Well, yeah, because he kept saying that everybody in that world looked like a video game character. Remember
that? I was thinking Scarlett Johansson just because from like Ghost in the Shell. She right? could just like reprise that role and put some damn right. Horns on her head. Or you know what? Put Daniel Radcliffe. You know, yeah, that'd be perfect because Daniel Radcliffe was already in that movie where he had horns. Yeah, horns.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
What about Mira Sorvino?
God, what has she done nothing lately?
I don't know, but she's
long, long ago.
Well, she helped get that asshole Harvey Weinstein in jail, so good job, Mira.
Oh, did she?
Yeah, her and Ashley Judd.
I didn't know that.
Like the two main ones.
I remember there was some video of like Courtney Love making some comment like the early 2000s where she's like, don't let so and so go over to Harvey Weinstein.
If Harvey Weinstein invites you up to his hotel room, don't go.
Yeah, don't go. And then she got blackballed after that. Like, she never was in anything else, hardly.
Well, that's why they said that Ashley Judd and Mira Sorvino's careers never went farther is because
they wanted to fuck Harvey Weinstein.
Was this after People versus Larry Flint?
Yes. It was. People versus Larry Flint was like late 90s. Yeah, she was good. The only thing I'll say, and I'm not trying to shit on Courtney Love, but she played a heroin addict. You know what I mean?
On brand.
It'd be like me playing a fat redneck. You know what I mean? Like, how hard would that be?
It's on brand. Fat redneck?
I mean, that's kind of a fat southerner. A chunky
You're
southern boy.
You're barely toeing the line.
Okay, a beer-drinking Georgia fan.
Okay. That's more accurate, I guess.
Yeah.
Give yourself more credit.
The older I get, the more
give yourself more credit.
I'm more rednecky I get. I'm going to go shoot guns, y'all. Go possum hunting.
We'll move to Bristol, Virginia, and with your Aunt Rachel and get one of those low riders like they like to, with the hydraulics. Okay, sorry.
What?
I'm confused. I'm confused.
Yeah, I don't know what's
going on. You've never been
to
Bristol, Virginia? It's a big car culture there because of NASCAR.
Yeah, but not low riders, though.
Yeah, they have like the hydraulics. Like, roo, roo, roo. I don't know.
I went to Bristol over the summer. All right.
I thought that was a NASCAR track. Like
it is.
There.
It's a short track.
They do.
Track.
Yeah, there's the.
Yeah. And it's still, it's considered a short track and it's huge. It's the biggest damn stadium I've ever seen. Hmm. And that's the short track. So I can only imagine what like Talladega looks like. Okay.
Wrapping up.
Yeah, let's go ahead and wrap this up.
This is what Steve should have done.
Well, is what the one night stand that Stacey should have done so she didn't get pregnant. Would you recommend this book, Liz?
No. I didn't really like it.
I feel like Purdy. What's up, Purdy?
I know.
Our buddy Purdy was supposed to join us for this dumbass book.
Oh, really? Yeah, maybe for Purdy.
Maybe Purdy would like this thing because it's just nutso. Would you recommend it, Mark?
Probably not. It was hard to suspend disbelief from here. Here.
You mean you didn't buy that somebody crawled all the way into a woman's
that's where they
vagina?
That's where
I could
they lost
if
you.
This was like a straight up like demonology, demon themed story. But no, this they were trying to ground this shit in science fiction. And I'm sorry, tried to ground like, this, and I can't deal with it.
I think you're right, and I think that brings up a good point that maybe we should have made earlier. If this had just gone completely off the rails into crazy land. That would have been more fun.
I'd be more on board.
Like if he had gone inside of her and it was like a fucking Army of Darkness with Bruce Campbell. Yeah.
Good reference.
That would have been an amazing book. I would probably read that again. But this was just like, oh, he goes in and he finds some demon girl who wants to fuck him. All right, this is kind of boring.
Yeah, it was boring. You know, to be about a man who crawled all the way into her vagina. It was pretty boring.
The funniest part to me of the book is the second time he goes in, he mentions, I stopped and urinated. I was just like, I don't know why.
I know.
He just pissed inside his girlfriend.
And social media, I would never. What are you doing? And he said nothing.
Yeah,
like,
he was ashamed. He's ashamed that he had to urinate.
That
I would never.
So weird. I remember that part. That was strange.
I would never urinate in your vagina on social media, Mel.
He loves you that much, Mel.
Wow.
I respect you too much.
He would just hold it until his bladder burst and he died and decomposed inside of your womb.
And his skeleton came out.
And a skeleton came out and you smashed it in the head and then left the stain on the carpet in Portland, fucking Oregon. I feel like I remember in college I was in a class. It was like a drama class, and they told us to write a short story or something like that. And I had this really silly idea about a bong and a unicorn. And I thought it would be really funny, but then I just didn't go through with it. It just ended up being like a stupid, not funny story. And I feel like this, like kind of what this was. It was like the haunted vagina. What if demons live inside of this girl's vajayjay? And then when he started writing it, it just turned into whatever the fuck this was. So
well, he's written so many that maybe he's just pushing those things out at a rapid pace, and none of them are really very interesting.
He's just spitting them out like corpses.
Yep.
Like living corpses coming out and turning into soup on his plush carpet. I like that it says from the author of Ape Shit. Like everybody's read. I was like, oh, yeah, fucking Ape Shit. I remember reading that. I read that right after I read Adolf in Wonderland.
Baby Jesus butt plug.
Author's note was really quite poignant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I missed Andre the Giant.
Yeah. No, I agree. Yeah. I can get down with that. I miss Andre the Giant.
So how did he put in an author's note 5 years after this book was written?
Because it says it has two, copyright 2006, and then I'm guessing they republished in 2011.
Oh.
Because the new cover art is 2011.
So is that when Andre the Giant died? Was in 2011?
He died like back
Carlton
in the
Mellick, stop being so random.
Yeah, on the first page... Well, there are some praise for Carlton Mellick III.
Oh, is there?
Easily the craziest, weirdest, strangest, funniest, most obscene writer in America, according to Gothic magazine. I didn't realize that was a magazine.
Hmm, cool.
Carlton Mellick III has the craziest book titles and the kinkiest fans. Is that really praise? Sure. If you haven't read Mellick, you're not nearly perverse enough for the 21st century.
But I don't even think that's not praise. That perverse.
Carlton Mellick III is one of bizarro fiction's most talented practitioners, a virtuoso of the surreal science fictional tale. That was from Cory Doctorow, author of Little Brother. I ain't never heard of that either. But I will say this. The motherfucker's written a ton of shit. Satan Burger, Electric Jesus Corpse, Sunset with a Beard, Razor Wire Pubic Hair, Teeth and Tongue Landscape, The Steel Breakfast Era, Baby Jesus Butt Plug, Fishy Fleshed, Menstruating Mall.
I want to read. Menstruating.
Menstruating.
Malalalalalala.
Ocean of Lard, Punkland, Sex and Death in Television Town, Sea of Patchwork Cats, Cancer Cute.
You going to read all of them? Yeah, I want to know what Google describes bizarro fiction as.
Hold on. Before you tell me. The only book I do want to read by Carlton Mellick III after this is called Zombies and Shit. I'll read that motherfucker. All right. Describe Bizarro.
I don't know. It's a long article. I don't really want to read the whole thing. All right, fuck it.
Okay. We got more beer to drink. Got some food cooking. Football's on. Thank you for joining us. Sorry it's been so long. I think next we're going to do candy. We read this because it's October and Halloween and shit.
Yeah, happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween to all you crazy kids. So stay tuned. Maybe social media Mel will let you know when we're posting next. Just kidding. Where can they find us?
Find us at Twitter at Harbro Podcast. Yeah, give us some feedback. Let us know what you want us to read, what suggestions you have.
Except for Aunt Rachel.
And we'll
stay off of iTunes, Aunt
Rachel. Hey, any suggestions you give us, like we're hunting the internet and finding weird shit. So if you've got something that you want us to like read or look into, like all the help is welcome.
We just read Haunted Vagina, so yes, we are desperate.
Yeah, we're pretty desperate. We'll take any and all suggestions. All right, so wrapping it up, Liz, you got anything else?
I just want to say sorry to my Aunt Rachel for talking shit about Bristol. It is a beautiful city with a cool NASCAR.
Are you talking shit? I love Bristol.
Well, there are some hydraulics going on there, which is pretty cool.
I wish the people could see the little dance that you did while you made the vroom sound.
That was a hydraulic.
The hydraulic dance.
Motion.
All right, Mark, do you hate Bristol like Liz does?
I don't hate it.
I have no opinion. I've never been there.
You never been to Bristol?
No.
It's a good place to live. That's what it says.
I take your word for it.
On State Street, it says a good place to live.
And it's split in half. Half of it's in Virginia and half of it's in Tennessee.
Yeah. I can't deal.
It's not a great place to live, oh, but it's a good place to live.
It's anyway. Like Tennessee.
Okay. Oh, sure. Tennessee, yeah, except for Knoxville.
Okay.
Bunch of orange-wearing bastards. All right. I've got nothing. That was it. I think we're going to read Candy next. It's a famous, well, at least more famous than the Haunted Vagina.
Yeah.
So if you want to read that and listen to it.
Came out mid-20th century.
Yeah, it came out in like the 60s. It was by the guy who wrote, what's the motorcycle movie? Jack Nicholson.
Oh, yeah. Easy Rider.
Easy Rider.
Yeah.
China really? Man?
I think
Did
so.
Did I miss that? Oh, shit. No fuck.
I think it's the screenwriter of shit. Easy Hell yeah. Rider.
Cool. I'm in.
Anyway.
As good as it gets.
I have it on Audible.
Something's Got to Give.
Love that movie.
Wait, was that Diane Keaton?
Yeah, and Jack Nicholson. That's what you're talking about?
Is that the one where he's like fucking Amanda Peet and then Amanda Peet's mom is Diane Keaton?
Yeah, and Diane Keaton's fucking Keanu. Who?
Yeah.
Keanu is a doctor too. Get real.
Yeah, get real. Him? Every time he opens somebody up, he's like, whoa.
No, not get real because the Keanu as a doctor. Get real about her leaving him to fuck around with Jack Nicholson.
Yeah, but why would he leave Amanda Peet to get with goddamn Diane Keaton, who's always exasperated by everything?
Because of those cool tennis shoes she wears.
Yeah, whatever. All right, y'all. I'm sure that you want to hear the rest of this conversation. Take it easy.
Bye.
Adios. Bye.